Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar, Blog Talk Radio's finest, not so mad science, on Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. We have a wonderful, scientifically oriented Christmas program on so-called Christmas Day for you tonight. So, while we get things in gear and get things in order and ready to go to not lose the push, we're going to give you that quick train whistle. And we're going to touch you up with a little bit of Aretha Franklin until you come back to me as we get things ready to get on the road. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network.
Yeah.
back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. I am excited tonight. And as we get into the show, you'll begin to understand my excitement. We are in what the world calls the Christmas season. And contrary to the belief that I'm going to beat up Santa, well, that'd be correct. I'm going to beat him up. But I'm not going to beat up the concept, idea, and the feeling of what the Christ mass should be and is. So, to that end, I want to shout to the world, up with Jesus, down with Santa. I'm going to say it again. Up with Jesus, down with Santa. This time of year is a time when families come together, beginning as what is called Thanksgiving and ending on New Year's Day, January 1st of the coming year. So up with Jesus, down with Santa. Give the gift that cannot be bought. Give the gift that can never be repaid. Give the gift that goes with you from cradle to the grave. Give that gift that God bursts into you when you come into the world. Give your love to those you love. Share your heart with those who bring you harmony and peace. Extend your hand to help those who need. Extend your mind to those who are in grief and are in need of your compassion and your love. Up with Jesus, down with Santa. For who is the little rosy cheeked, red, ruddy, fat man that children are lied to for all their lives, that comes to bring gifts, who brings nothing but misery for those who think that because mommy and daddy, they ask the question, mommy and daddy, how come I couldn't get such and such and such and this, that, and the other thing for Christmas? Does Santa not love me like he does Mike, Tommy, Billy, Joe, Bob, Ann, and all those other children? Because they got such and such. Does Santa love them more than he loves me? How does a parent who loves their child answer such a question? Such a question would never come when you take the credit for what you labor for. When you take the credit, all due recompense for what you suffered to give to your family. No, baby, Santa didn't give that to you. Mommy and daddy worked hard. Mommy and daddy suffered so that you could have what we could not ever dream of in our lives. No little fat, ruddy white man bought you anything. We worked, you got, because we love you. Up with Jesus, down with Santa. Let the Christ mass, when the people of Christ come together to share the love to change the world. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Now, let's get into the science. The Center for Disease Control has issued a report where they look back over the years for the most pressing health issues that have impacted America and the world. And of course, I do have some commentary about that. Currently now, in America, the opioid crisis, this opioid epidemic, is in full-blown hysteria. Epidemic proportions to foodborne outbreaks and antimicrobial resistance to the Ebola crisis. To the outbreak of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of Congo. I wonder, as I look back over the history, where was the outrage for the crack epidemic, which was thought to be primarily focused on the black community. It was not until crack got out the crack and got into the greater community at large that it was understood that there was a problem. Opioids did not affect our community. It affected the community of the ready people. That's right, I said ready. R-U-D-D-Y. Now there's an epidemic. Now there's a push to bring resolution to a problem. Well, the CDC has worked round the clock over these past few years and around the globe. It is believed to protect to the American people from health threats in 2018. The Center for Disease Control is thought to have a long history of using the best available science and data to make public health decisions, according to the current director, Robert R. Redfield. Dr. Robert R. Redfield. It was his vision for the CDC and public health here and around the world to get people to see the possible. We have to be bold and innovative to eliminate disease, to protect the American people from health threats, and improve the human condition. But the human condition and its health is not only protected by vaccinating against diseases. The human condition and the health of the American people is protected when they are in the right mind, the right spiritual mind. They take and they eat the proper information. They are not lied to. They are not purposely misled, so that their hearts can then find comfort and truth in the words that are shared with them, so that they're in a good mental spirit. So when they eat real wholesome food, not genetically modified organisms, GMOs, fake tomatoes, fake vegetables of all different types, fake milk that is not raw, wholesome milk, straight from the cattle. And correction, milking cows, straight from a milking goat. Good wholesome food, natural from the earth, as it was meant to be. Did you not know in the stories of the land of milk and honey during the time of our forefathers that there was no such thing as pasteurizing milk, where it had to be heated up in such a way that the good nutrients and the bad were destroyed, thus turning milk into an unnatural product that was merely white water, removing what is called the butter fats from the milk, that the organic properties of that milk are so denatured, meaning stripped of its natural qualities, that they now have to add vitamins in for the milk to have the ability to give nutrient to the body. Leave the milk alone. God made it the way it is needed to be. It requires no intervention from the hand of the made man to give body to what God gave life. Wholesome, natural foods. So let's take another closer look at some of the health issues that the CDC tackled and or tracked or helped manufacture in 2018. Mortality rates increased for 7 of 10 leading causes of death in the U.S. drug overdose, in the U.S. war on drugs. Drug overdoses continue to increase. 47,600 drug overdose deaths involved any type of opioid, including heroin and illicit opioids, representing for over 2/3 of all drug overdose deaths in the United States. Ever since the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, data revealed the extent of the American epidemic of opioid overdose, funding. The CDC asked Congress for money to attack this problem. The CDC has been at the forefront of all the efforts to combat the Believe crisis here in the United States. So, to help the CDC, the Congress appropriated $476 million in fiscal year 2018. As a result of this, the CDC increased funding to reach all 50 states and 4 U.S. territories to scale up prevention and response activities, including improving the timelines and the timeliness and the quality of surveillance data and advancing their understanding of the opioid overdose epidemic. But how can there be an overdose epidemic if the opioid is not made available? Who's selling it, and where are these opioids coming from? Not once during the charge to attack the opioid epidemic did we hear of the Center for Disease Control attacking the misappropriation of prescription drugs where most of the opioid overdose crisis extends from. When you look at the expense to purchase these drugs, one must begin to wonder, is this crisis a faux crisis, a fake crisis established to get access to monies? Is the result of the problem? The negligence is the result of the problem. The greed of doctors to move a drug through the system such that the drug becomes easy to get hold of. Is it merely a case where someone who wants to get some nasal spray, but you need a prescription to get what would typically be an over-the-counter nasal spray to get access to the minute amount of opioid that might be in the nasal spray, because someone could distill it down? It is foolish. The crisis is not the drug. The real drug is the money and the extent to which greed will drive those with the technology and the means to access the drugs with their money to make more money. Thus, the CDC says their ultimate goal is not just stopping the outbreaks, but preventing them from happening in the first place. I would suggest that the battle to stop the crisis takes place on multiple fronts, and it is not money. It is good parenting. It is good enforcement of the existing laws on the books to attack the greed of individuals, to attack the structure of a failing system which has failed to protect the citizenry to which it has given an oath. But there are other problems that the CDC had to investigate throughout 2018. The CDC had to look at and help resolve several foodborne outbreaks, including a huge spike in E. coli infections associated with romaine lettuce, salmonella in ground beef and so-called kosher chicken, listeria at an all-time high in nationally and internationally. The spike in port-borne listeria outbreaks is at an all-time high. It is 60% higher than ever before in the United States. So for all you pork eaters out there, I caution you, change your diet. Look at the better way, not the alternative, but look at the better way to get your other white meat. These investigations are shedding light on ways to make the U.S. food supply even safer. The even safer way is not with a chemically altered product. CDC and partners also continue to carefully study the cases of acute flaccid myelitis. It is a serious but rare condition that causes weakness in one or more of your limbs. In November, the CDC announced the establishment of an AFM task force, an acute flaccid myelitis task force, aid in the ongoing investigation to define the cause of and improve treatment outcomes for patients with AFM. Since August, the CDC has been coordinating with the Democratic Republic of the Congo and their Ministry of Health to respond to a second large outbreak of Ebola. Earlier this year, the CDC assisted in the response to an unrelated Ebola outbreak in the Northwestern Democratic Republic of Congo, which was brought to a quick end through a robust international effort. Now, why should such a great concentration of Ebola be found in the DRC? Well, one would naturally have to ask the ones who caused the outbreak in the first place. One must look to the World Health Organization, the WHO, through their aggressive vaccination program. They caused the Ebola virus, but it is not reported in traditional mainstream media this way. Caused in the monkeys. Well, who's testing on the monkeys there? Who's testing on the lower primates, which created the Ebola virus? Did you not know, dear brothers and sisters, friends, naysayers and all, that Ebola is the forerunner by which AIDS was manufactured in the first place? We must listen better, study more, to which I quote that late poet, musical genius, Gil Scott Heron, Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean. It follows a pattern, if you know what I mean. Legionnaire's disease was not an accident in the late 70s, early 80s. It was a design. But the route by which Legionnaire's got its run came from experimentations with Ebola in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. But then Legionnaires escaped. And then all of a sudden we had an outbreak of the AIDS virus, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. But we must pay attention to the pattern by which things take place in the world around us, in the scientific community, the medical community. These things are reported to distract from the actual work done to create the problem. There was a rapid response to Ebola. This rapid response is critical to contain any outbreak of viral hemorrhagic fever. But continuing a comprehensive response in the DRC has been difficult because the affected area is remote. Now, one who has taken any basic chemistry, biology, and anatomy class in high school understands that when there is a medical outbreak or a transitive process by which a native germaphobe in an isolated area then becomes a pandemic disease, it is easily localized and stopped because of the remoteness of where the disease began. Well, if this is known to be a scientific study fact, how did Ebola escape? Somebody must have been playing with the genetic code. The security concerns with regards to medical experimentation by government entities outside the country of the outbreak must be looked at with great emphasis and intent by the general public, who is dependent upon governmental agencies to share fair, honest, respectful information. Thus, we are challenged as the American citizenry and as American people to know better and to do better. How do we know better? We don't limit ourselves to what we see on the 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 11 o'clock news. We must become better students of our own lives. This is Not So Mad Science. Continue. The CDC continues to make strides in disease control and elimination. However, challenges remain. One health consequence of the opioid epidemic is a dramatic increase in infectious diseases. Hepatitis C infections have more than tripled in recent years, and the evidence points to people who inject drugs being at a higher risk for hepatitis C and other forms of viral hepatitis. Additionally, the CDC data released this year show steep and sustained increases in sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. In the U.S. alone, including nearly 2.3 million cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. This surpassed the previous record by more than 200,000 cases and marked the fourth consecutive year of sharp increases in STDs. These STDs are more resistant to removal, vaccines, and other injections, which are to stem the tide and or kill the infection. However, the means of transmission of STDs has gotten to be more commonplace. There was a time when you could say, well, you can't get an STD from sitting on the toilet. You can't get an STD from using somebody else's towel. You can't get an STD because you kiss somebody. Well, guess what? There are now cases documented and scientifically proven on record where STDs have been transmitted by using facilities with someone who has an STD in the general public, where people have picked up and transmitted other conditions by using wet material of someone who is infected, whereby kissing, where typically spit, your saliva is too active and acidic an environment for any bacterial infection to exist in. Well, things have changed. Because no matter where you go, there you are. And if the person you're with is not clean, then you are subject to being unclean yourself. Yes, this is Not So Mad Science. Additionally, in 2018, the CDC released data showing the suicide rate among the U.S. working age population has increased 34% between 2000 and 2016. 34%. Now let's take a look. What could that possibly mean in with regards to the number? Let's say, oh, you got a dollar, 30% increase on your dollar. That means your dollar increased 30 cents. So now you got $1.30 as opposed to just $1. Well, let's look at a population of people. So out of every 100 people, there are 30 people additional added to that. So when that's 1,000, you got 300. So if that's 1,000,000, you got an additional 300,000. How many people are killing themselves here in the United States each year? This is among the working age population. Additionally, the suicide rates rose in nearly every state between 1999 and 2016. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death, and its rise has contributed to lower life expectancy over the past few years. Now, let's be mindful now. If you OD on a drug, are they calling that OD a suicide? Or are they calling that an accidental death? If you add the suicide rate and the deaths caused by overdoses with drugs, that number for every 1,000,000 increases from 300,000, or rather 3,000 out of every 1,000,000, to nearly half. That's a whole lot of dying from a whole lot of pain. Why do people use drugs? They're looking to hide from something that is painful. They're looking to hide from the pain. So is an overdose on drugs suicide? In my opinion, you damn Skippy. Like peanut butter on bread, rich, thick, and creamy. If you're using drugs, then you're trying to kill yourself because you're looking to hide from life's pain. Comprehensive suicide prevention activities are needed to address the full range of factors contributing to suicide. Chronic disease continues to remain a CDC priority. Despite largely preventable heart attacks, strokes, and other forms of heart failure, other related conditions cause 2.2 million hospitalizations, resulting in $32.7 billion in costs and 415,000 deaths, according to the CDC data. Many of these events were in adults, grown people, thinking people, college-educated people, intelligent people. 415,000 deaths. Many of these are deaths. Again, 35 to 64. If every state reduced these life-changing events by 6%, 1 million cardiac events would be, could be, and should be prevented by 2022. But 1 million people in a country the size of America, what's 1 million when you can save 20 million? Simply by addressing a better mindset with better food, with better truthful information from those with the responsibility of sharing that information. Anything built on a lie is doomed to fall. it is then subject to the disease caused by the lie. Can we say we live in an environment like that now? Because as the mind goes, the body will follow. And if the mind is poisoned, the body then becomes subject to that poison. And this is not so mad science. The most effective way to protect Americans from health threats that begin overseas is to prevent, detect, and contain diseases at their source. This year, to advance global health security and protect Americans and U.S. interests, the CDC continued to support more than 60 countries in building core capacities in disease surveillance, laboratory systems, public health workforce, and emergency management and operations. Well, there's a better way. Keep the CIA out from working their efforts to destabilize governments, and then we could have a better health around the globe. These diseases, let's take, for example, malaria, which is a natural forming disease in the more temperate, hotter areas, moist temperate areas in Africa. The natural defense against malaria was the sickle cell. As you attack the mosquitoes that carry malaria and reduce that condition in Africa, the suffering and pains from its natural defense, sickle cell, began to attack the people because there was no longer a need for the sickle cell in the body. So the body attacked itself. The made man interfered with the made plan of the natural defense. So when you took the children of Africa away and brought them on a westerly course. They came with a natural defense for something that they were no longer exposed to. Thus, sickle cell anemia, the disease, became rampant amongst the black community. Learn to mind your business. It's not an insult. Because when you put your mind into your business, that which you need for yourself is addressed and tended to, and not what is needed for someone else outside yourself. Thus, the American effort to involve themselves in world conditioned as opposed to involving itself in its more national conditions has created havoc health-wise, food-wise around the globe. In Uganda, a country that has partnered with the CDC for many years, to get today Uganda's national viral hemorrhagic fever surveillance and laboratory system is able to detect and respond to some of the world's most dangerous viruses like Ebola and Marburg, as well as other threats such as anthrax. Conditions, those three conditions never existed in Uganda until the advent and workings of the CIA. In Thailand, Guatemala, Kenya, Sierra Leone, and Zambia, the CDC experts help public health practitioners harness the power of technology to improve their disease surveillance. Again, surveillance for diseases that were never indigenous to their population prior to the advent of friendship with Europe. In India, as a result of CDC support and hospital-based surveillance, laboratorians, people who work in laboratories, were able to rapidly detect and respond to a deadly Nipah virus outbreak, a disease which never reached beyond the lower percentile in India. But India's sanitary conditions worsened after the interruption of European interference. Also this year, during the United Nations General Assembly in New York, the United States announced the AMR Challenge, which is a global initiative to combat the growing threat of antibiotic-resistant diseases, precedented challenge led by the Health and Human Services and the CDC, charges global stakeholders like pharmaceutical and health insurance companies, food animal producers and purchasers, medical professionals, government health officials, and others from around the world to take action, meaningful action, to address the antibiotic crisis. The UN also held its first high-level meeting, ending tuberculosis, which contributes to one-third of the world's AMR cases. In support of the UN HLM targets, the CDC is on the forefront of efforts to expand tuberculosis preventative treatment. Yet, tuberculosis has become resistant to the treatment being provided. So is it on the high end of help or the low end? The CDC, as part of the U.S. President's emergency plan for AIDS release, is supporting the push to provide TB preventative treatment to 5 million people globally living with HIV by 2020, and is developing new tools for finding and treating eligible children. Again, I remind us one and all, mind, put your efforts, your intellectual ability into minding your business. Going forth into 2019, no one knows what the next health threat will be or where it will arise. What is certain is there will be future health threats, and that the CDC must be on the front line with good, honest, truthful help. The Redfield, the head of the CDC, says that they remain committed to using science to protect the health of all people. The opioid epidemic continues to be the public health crisis of our time here in the United States, and this is reflected in the recent CDC mortality data. In addition, nearly 80,000 Americans died last year from influenza. And this 80,000 persons identified and factually based information that died all had a flu shot. Thousands of Americans unnecessarily died from a faulty vaccination. So it is my request, in support of the CDC, I ask all American people, take action now to protect their own health Protect your family's health. If you go get a flu shot, know where that flu shot came from. Know for sure, without any doubt, that that flu shot is clean. Question your doctor. Don't go to the local supermarket. Go to your doctor. Question your doctor. Challenge your doctor. Make your doctor authenticate and verify that what they put into your veins is going to help you save your life. The CDC is said to be and will be hard at work to combat these and other urgent threats in the coming year. In the words of Richard Pryor, we will see. We will see. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We're going to take a quick 2-minute break as I readjust to get into the next stage of our program. We'll be right back. So, to that end, with my appropriate music, don't be a victim. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. According to Reuters News, the percentage of high school seniors who used e-cigarettes in the last 30 days nearly doubled to 20.9% of all high school students nationally from last year. Now, these electronic cigarettes, when they came out, it was marketed and advertised that there were no tobacco concerns, no concerns of cancerous risk from nicotine, that this was an alternative way to smoke, not to impart secondhand smoke to people around you as a way of getting off actual cigarettes. Find out later on, and let's be honest, they lied. And experts who came out and said that the advertising from cigarette manufacturers was not truthful, we ignored. But what did we do? Our children were given a means of picking up a habit to smoke. Well, it's not real cigarettes, so it's okay. Let them go ahead and smoke an electronic cigarette. Created a mentality. And I've listened to some former cigarette smokers tell you, part of the habit of smoking cigarettes isn't the nicotine that draws you in. It is the motion, the condition of picking a cigarette up, putting it in your mouth, and puffing on it. It is that routine motion, back and forth, that becomes part of the habitual most pattern of behavior. You're nervous, you smoke a cigarette, you get into that habit. You eat something, you pick up a cigarette, you get into that motion. So it's that lifting, lift, puff, lift, puff, lift, puff. Hell, you could damn near get carpal tunnel syndrome from puffing on a cigarette because of the constant routine motion. So on the better part, if an e-cigarette was not such a liability, you created a cigarette smoker without them actually smoking a cigarette, because the next step from the e-cigarette would become an actual cigarette. And guess what happened? The increase in vaping by 10th, 11th, and 12th graders was the largest year-over-year jump for any substance ever measured by the survey, which started 44 years ago. The annual survey, which also measures use of other substances, including marijuana, alcohol, and opioids, questioned more than 44,000 students from the 8th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades in U.S. public and private schools. The percentage of high school students who use nicotine-based vaping devices known as e-cigarettes has risen by a third over the past year. E-cigarettes have been a divisive topic in the public health community. Some focus on the potential health benefits of shifting lifelong smokers to less harmful nicotine, which there's really no such thing. Will create a new generation of people addicted to nicotine. I'm going to say that again. Some focus on the potential benefits of shifting lifelong smokers to less harmful nicotine, less harmful products. All it produced created a new generation of addicts addicted to nicotine. Last month, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, facing mounting pressure to act on the rising popularity of vaping devices, announced sweeping new restrictions on flavored tobacco products, including e-cigarettes. The one-year rise in vaping was mirrored by changes in the perception of availability of e-cigarettes, with more eighth, ninth, and tenth graders reporting that vaping devices and e-liquids containing nicotine were easier to obtain in 2018 than in 2017. Since it's not a real cigarette and there's supposedly no active nicotine involved, it was not illegal for minors to purchase e-cigarettes. E-cigarette makers, including San Francisco-based Juul Labs, also face scrutiny from the FDA amid the increase in teenage uses of the device, which looks like a USB flash drive. and vaporize a flavored liquid containing, guess what? Nicotine. Juul Lab said in November it would pull the popular flavors such as mango, cucumber, and fruit from many retail stores to shelve them to reduce teenage use of the product. Well, that didn't work. E-cigarettes, all you did was create a new junkie for your product. So to all my family and friends out there who have children, friends of your children who vape, there's a rise in a new kind of cancer, which is the direct result of so-called vaping. Because it is a water-based vapor, it is absorbed into the bloodstream faster than traditional smoking. Think about that. You're absorbing the nicotine into your system faster through the vapor than you would through the traditional smoking process. This, dear family and friends, is not so mad science. We're going to change subjects, and we're going to jump into something else. But I thought that was something that you needed to know before we closed out this year. In previous programs, I reminded us one and all to heed the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he said, watch the weather. He reminded us of the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the weapons of God, rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes. These things are on the rise. Nationally, internationally, disasters are mounting. Too many, I have spoken individually about the New Madrid Fault, which bisects these United States. Well, I told you the shift was coming, and it happened. There was a great rumble along the New Madrid fault line. Now that the sticking point has popped free, the next rumble will change the course of the mighty river. Have you not been paying attention? Christmas Day saw a little change in conditions around the United States. From Monday to Tuesday, today, storms early in the week are moving slowly. In the West, the storms and showers which caused travel disruptions along the West Coast on Monday are tracking slowly inland to bring snow and ice to a huge area from Montana to parts of Arizona and New Mexico. The second area of wintry weather will remain in the central and eastern portions of the United States with snow and clipper storms expected in the Midwest and Southern Great Lakes. A line of showers will develop from the Ohio Valley, passing through the plains into parts of Texas. Christmas Day today is forecasted and known to offer little change from the conditions seen on Monday, with the storm system over the West Coast shifting inland in a slow-moving fashion. Overnight and into today, the showers, snow, and ice will become a more severe storm system covering a large portion of the West. Coast will remain largely clear of rain and snow, but we'll see temperatures fall to 47 degrees in Portland, Oregon, and 67 degrees in Los Angeles. This is unusually cool for the California West. The major storm system over an inland region of the West will bring snow and ice to almost every area from Montana to Arizona and New Mexico. To the north, Missoula, Montana, a day of heavy snow and highs reaching just above 30 over the course of today, Christmas Day. Cold temperatures will remain through the West, with Salt Lake City, Utah, forecast to receive little snow, but highs will only rise to 39 degrees throughout today. In Salt Lake City, Utah, Hotville, USA, in the center of the U.S., a trough of clear skies with cold temperatures will develop over the Dakotas, moving south through the plains. The clear skies will not reach as far south as Texas, where showers will affect isolated regions of Texas and push into the parts of Oklahoma, where Oklahoma City will see a rainy high of 56 degrees. Showers will push into Arkansas and east into Tennessee and Kentucky, with showers and highs rising into the low 50s. These are abnormal temperatures for this part of the country, along with rain, which should be the dry season for these areas. Storm system in the central and eastern parts of the U.S. will focus itself into a more dangerous issue in the Midwest and Ohio Valley, with extreme snow and ice expected. Wisconsin and Illinois will both experience a day of snow and ice, with Chicago expecting a wintry mix and an afternoon high of 38 degrees. That's bad news for Chicago. Clipper storms will shift across the southern portion of the Great Lakes and into a few areas in the northeast, with snow expected in Detroit Christmas Day. And if you look outside your window, Detroit, it's coming down. It's peppering now. By morning, be careful where you drive. Be careful where you go. Old man winter is about to blow. For those who work in the federal government, be glad you got Monday off. The chances of a so-called white Christmas day along the East Coast are slim, with clear skies expected across the entire Eastern Corridor, providing excellent travel conditions. However, it's going to be cold. Well, dear friends and family, that brings us to the end of this edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad. Yes, we're ending a little early tonight, because things come and things go. Because though it sounds like I brought bad news, the good news is I want you to love your family as you love for yourself. Love your brother as you love yourself. Want for your brother what you want for yourself, even if you cannot have it for yourself. And to my baby and babies, I love you. Yes, I do. And I'll be seeing you all real, real soon. So, to that end, I'm going to play a piece from my favorite poet, Mr. Daniel Beatty, before we close out. Knock, knock.
As a boy, I shared a game with my father. Played it every morning till I was three. He would knock, knock on my door, and I'd pretend to be asleep till he got right next to the bed. Then I would get up and jump into his arms. Good morning, Papa. And my papa, he would tell me that he loved me. We shared a game, knock, knock. Until that day when the knock never came. And my mama takes me on a ride past cornfields on this never-ending highway till we reach a place of high, rusty gates. A confused little boy, I enter the building carried in my mama's arms. Knock, knock. We reach a room of windows and brown faces. Behind one of the windows sits my father. I jump out of my mama's arms and run joyously towards my papa's, only to be confronted by this window. I knock, knock, trying to break through the glass, trying to get to my father. I knock, knock as my mama pulls me away before my papa even says a word. And for years he has never said a word, and so 25 years later I'll write these words for the little boy in me who still awaits his papa's knock. Papa, come home, because I miss you. Miss you waking me up in the morning and telling me you love me. Papa, come home, because there's things I don't know, and I thought maybe you could teach me how to shave, how to dribble a ball, how to talk to a lady, how to walk like a man. Papa, come home, because I decided a while back I want to be just like you, but I'm forgetting who you are. And 25 years later, a little boy cries, and so I write these words and try to heal and try to father myself, and I dream up a father who says the words my father did not, dear son. I'm sorry I never came home. For every lesson I failed to teach, hear these words. Shave in one direction with strong, deliberate strokes to avoid irritation. Dribble the page with the brilliance of your ballpoint pen. Walk like a god, and your goddess will come to you. No longer will I be there to knock on your door, so you must learn to knock for yourself. Knock, knock down doors of racism and poverty that I could not. Knock, knock on doors of opportunity for the lost brilliance of the black men who crowd these cells. Knock, knock with diligence for the sake of your children. Knock, knock for me, for as long as you are free, these prison gates cannot contain my spirit. The best of me still lives in you. Knock, knock with the knowledge that you are my son, but you are not my choices. Yes, we are our father's sons and daughters, but we are not their choices. For despite their absences, we are still here, still alive, still breathing, with the power to change this world. One little boy and girl at a time. Knock, knock. Who's there? We are.
Radio Network. But before I go, I have one more poem that I want to share with you. This is by another great black poet. And let me find it for you, because I think you can hear the wisdom in the words when this poem is delivered. And it's called I Apologize. And it's going to take us a moment to pull I Apologize up, so let's do that. Do-do-do. Yes. I Apologize. And it seems that it's going to give us a little difficulty to find it. But it's there. And we will find it. In this huge list of material that I have here. But fear not, we have never been left in doubt. For our God is a mighty God. And that mighty God has never left us without what we need, when we need. And what do we got coming up here now? It seems that I apologize for being black, for all I am and all I lack. Please, sir, please, ma'am, give me some slack, because I apologize. I apologize for being broke, for being sick, tired, and poor. I apologize for being a slave, taking me to my early grave. Indeed, I apologize. Why? Because I'm a man, and a man must stand. And as long as the man stands, the black woman has no fear. So since I can't find the original poet who wrote those words, I'm going to leave you what I just shared. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network, prayerfully saying that I have said nothing, done nothing, and caused you to feel something that makes you feel less than yourself, than the goddess and queen that you are. I pray, Allah, that I am here one more year, from 2019 through 2020, to continue to share truth through the sciences here on the Black Hole Radio Network with this program, Not So Mad Science. To that end, I say to you one and all, in the immortal words of the late great black preacher, Adam Clayton Powell Jr. of the Abyssinian Baptist Church, keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. And inshallah, I will see you all once again next week. Assalamu alaikum.